keep my fucking podcast's name out your fucking mouth. That's right. This is Riding with the Wolf, your one-man band. Lots to talk about. Had a barbecue party, a farewell to Irishmen, and maybe a farewell to that band as well. And then lots of weirdly worldly things. But hey, stuff's on the up and up for me, so I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. All right, ladies and germs. So, lots to talk about, and I got a lot of errands to do today, so I'm going to be killing a lot of birds with several stones today. Had a band barbecue. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about toxic women in your life and the real reason behind the slap heard round the world. And then, you know, on this ride along, hopefully I find some cool stuff. I have to go to different parts of the town. Got to drop off rent. And I may even have some WrestleMania memories. Who knows? But first stop will be the gas station. I know that's sort of exciting for some people. Only rich people get to go there these days. It is going down a little bit here in Vegas. These things happen. Whenever there's a holiday, the gas goes up. It's not a big surprise anyway. That's just normal. But for some reason, they want to blame it on Russia or the president or whatever. And then I just saw that they're releasing 100 million barrels from the petroleum emergency reserve. Where is that? Can you imagine? These are our barrels. It's like the red stapler of the government. Like, these are our barrels. This is our area. You can't have these. But we keep these just for us. I mean, I know, I'm sure it's for military and the doomsday plane that's been flying nonstop and things like that, but kind of hilarious. This is our gas, not your gas. But we can let you have a little bit of it. Man, just crazy. So, I guess I'll start with the good news. Good news is, I'm feeling good. I've got a lot of amazing prospects. I've been down a lot with the house market and possibly not being able to keep the house. I don't know what's going on with that. I've had two friends come up to me and say that their landlords let them know that their owners were selling and that they would not be renewing the lease. One of those broke the lease and said, the owners are selling, you now have 14 days to vacate the premises. In Nevada, I guess they can legally do that. So, yeah, fuck all that noise. It's scary, it's stupid to think of. That's why I had to show off the house. I had a barbecue to, you know, bring everyone over that's been bugging me to see the collection, see that I wasn't exaggerating and lying about how much I had. And it was a good time had by all. It went a lot better than I thought it would. Nothing got damaged, nothing got knocked over. We even jammed a little bit, nothing broke, nobody stole anything. Had a few freaks show up, so it was good times. Another good news thing, on my effort to formulate my own popularity and go to a new direction with new friends and new bands and outlooks, my audition is set for Monday with the country band. And I always joke about it. It's hilarious. I knew when I played bass at that one gig for my buddy's dad's birthday party, I was like, this just feels right. I bet you anything my next gig's going to be playing bass. Sure as shit, that's what they're calling me for. And also, I always joked, every single time I get in a band, it's always with a female lead singer. Well, guess what? There it is. I mean, I just, who knows? Maybe that's my calling. That's who I interact with best. I don't know. I really don't. But it is what it is. But that being on bass, I still want to be an amazing guitar player and known for that. So I bought myself a brand new amp. It's a $1,700 amp that I found for a steal on eBay and won the auction at the last second. And for once, I actually benefited from sniping an auction. So I got it for way less than half the price, and it's practically brand new, and it's the Eddie Van Halen 50-watt 2x12 combo tube amp, and I've played it in person in the stores, and it's amazing. It's super loud. For most gigs in Vegas, unless you're playing a stadium, you really don't need 100 watt, certainly not 150 watt amp, which is all I'd had before, because that's what people were telling me. You got to be a pro musician and get a Marshall JCM-800 with the blah, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. No, you don't. So this is going to be super plenty loud enough, and I'm excited. All right, we are rolling. In case you're wondering, yes, I still have my strawberry Pop-Tarts when I do my errands and I do these long haul runs. 550 for gas, and it was 50 bucks to fill up the tank from a quarter full, with a quarter left. Like, so ridiculous. But you know what? It is what it is. The only people hurting with this really is people with big vehicles and trucks. Like, truckers, $1,000 a tank to fill up. That's just, it's ridiculous. But a whole new world. So, anywho, another quick tidbit of something that was on my mind right when I was getting gas is, I had mentioned before that I found some amazing deals and stocked up on resin. Apparently, that'll be the last resin I'm going to be able to get. Hobby Lobby was carrying the Alumilite that I like to use for, I think it was $19.99 for two bottles, or a part A and a part B. And they clearanced out of them, and I looked online, they're not carrying it. And then the company itself isn't going to carry that line anymore. They're only going to offer it in gallon for like $100 and some bucks. And then if you try and buy it on Amazon, it's now going to be, I think like $35-40. So that means the price of my materials now have cost, are going to cost me double. And I just, I can't pass that on to everybody that buys my figures. So this is going to be interesting. I'm going to have to shop around, probably take some time and do some play testing with some other resin and see how that goes. It's always something, you know. I was running fine there. 2021 really wasn't that bad for me. Everything was running smoothly. And then all of a sudden 2022 hit, and it's like, you know, the taxes and PayPal and all the digital money. And then 2021 did change some of the shipping stuff. So towards the end of the year, you had to like change your e-commerce shipping to a different platform, open up a PayPal business. And it's like, it seems to me there's always something to keep you from working for a brick and mortar company or something that benefits the world. Like, they don't want you to be an entertainer or an influencer or a crafty DIY person or a side hustler anymore. It's like, they don't want you selling drugs no more. Like, what the fuck's wrong with that? You're just going to legalize it 10 years later. Fucking the war on drugs. Guess you won that war. I had somebody tell me they microdose mushrooms to put themselves in a better mood. And I just don't know that I would trust that. I have no experience with it, and I don't think I would do that. Plus, things don't affect me the way they do other people. Like I say, weed doesn't do anything for me. Coffee will put me to sleep, and I don't think the fact that I'm already sensitive to paranormal activity that mushrooms would help. I see ghosts. I don't want to talk to them. You know, it's so definitely not going to go that route. But here we are. So I'm on the way to the comic shop now. And you know what? Let's talk about the party. Let's keep this one positive for a little bit at least. My buddy Lee, who took the spot that I thought I should have had, ended up being the perfect fill for that band. I'll just admit it. I don't know if it's because the lead singer doesn't want to be outshined or if I'm more of a metal guy. I've had some people put rumors out there that I'm too fat or too bearded, and that came from family members of the members of the band, which is quite hysterical. But I don't even care. Like, it's not even worth getting into the negative points of that. I thought, you know what? If I'm going to lose the house if Lee's going to have to go back home because he's been here for 90 days or more, I'm going to make this into a positive thing. Let's just have a barbecue, send him off proper, and just have some fun. Everybody can come over and see the house and the collections. The band can come over, and if this is a last hurrah for me hanging out with the guys, or a last hurrah for my house, or whatever, I feel like this was a send-off for a lot of things as far as the barbecue went. And I have always felt anxious about having people in my house, and not just in the house, but like, it's, I don't know, people just don't respect things like they should. And I've had a few barbecues in other houses where I knew some, you know, wrestling buddies that I was telling you about that I worked with at Toys R Us, that now work for Impact and other promotions. And, you know, he would always fuck around, try and see if he could steal something and if I'd notice, or he'd make it look like, you know, the Flexums at the time, like Batista was dry humping the Jericho Flexum or something like that. Remember those, the Flexums were the bendy, the bendable, like oversized Bendems, Jax Classics kind of figures. But, you know, that crowd and that Reno crowd, they were sort of disrespectful. They'd piss all over the place. Those bands, they just weren't taking care of things. I had a lot of cleanup. Things would fall over. A shelf would fall down. The dogs would be anxious. It was a pain in the butt. This actually ended up pretty good. Then again, you know, at this point, we're all in our 40s and a couple people are in their 50s. And everyone was really just really respectful. Nobody touched anything. Not a single thing fell down. I think one beer got toppled only because some dumbass put it on the carpet and someone else didn't see it, but it was a quick cleanup. But all in all, it was pretty fun, and it was good for the soul. I enjoyed it. I've been selfish at keeping my collection and everything for myself, and realizing that I don't have anyone to share it with, and that people either don't believe me, or, you know, when someone talks about what they have or what they do or who they are, they usually exaggerate a little bit. I'm probably the most honest person, which is why I get accused of being a shit talker, because I don't lie. Like, if you're going to tell me something, it's not that I can't keep a secret. It's just there's no point. You remember truth a lot better than all your lies, and I'm pretty good at covering things up, and I don't want to say like I'm a professional liar, but hell, I've been a salesman, a bartender, you know, all sorts of jobs, and, you know, working for the Bunny Ranch, you learn how to hustle, so it just, to me, there's no point, you know, I'll tell it like it is, I'll be the Jesse Ventura of the group. But things were good. Everyone was nice to each other. Everyone was peaceful. Nobody brought up any drama. We got a little crazy, got a little hammered. We went through a bottle of Jameson, I think, in about a half an hour, and then started cracking into some of the random stuff that I had around the house. I think, honestly, maybe 25 people were there in and out of the house, which was just enough. That was the band and their significant others or their dates. One of the band members, his family is friends with all of us. So we invited his family, his sister, his mom, and his dad. My mom was there cooking. The food was amazing. Everyone loves my mom. And it was good for her because she always used to throw extravagant dessert parties around Christmas time. And I mean, you can't believe what these things are. Anyone that's known me a long time that may have seen some of these pictures, she would make 50 different kinds of desserts set out over three long tables and invite 100 people over, and it's just phenomenal. It's an amazing thing. So this I wanted to do just, you know, make some barbecue, some chicken, and some steak skewers, and maybe put some peppers and onions on there, and simple, right? Mom catches wind, gets super excited about it, and she's like, nah, I'll take care of it. So we still did the steak and the chicken skewers, but she made them all perfectly seasoned and marinated steak, and then she had the Cajun chicken, and then we had kielbasa and a veggie stir fry, all kinds of desserts. Man, so good. And one of the things, again, I was kind of getting upset that she was going a little overboard, but not because of the money, but because the stress levels, and usually those dessert parties were just out of hand. Do this. Okay, people are coming. We got to do this. Worry about this. And that's not what the point. Everyone was supposed to be chill and relaxed. And even that went well. Everybody stood around. I didn't want people to have to sit down with forks and napkins and a glass of wine and needing 30 placemats on a long table like Thanksgiving. That's what I was worried about, having that much food. And that's not what happened. Everybody did exactly what I thought. Grabbed a beer and went, walked around with a couple of sticks. And it was like Viking style barbecue. It was great. It was exactly what I wanted. So, the only minor drama was, it was a private party and nobody knew about it, but that one groupie that thought she was a girlfriend ended up catching wind and was hinting and texting, you know, up my ass, trying to see if she can come to the party, and I had to ignore it. She's a nice person. I like her. I don't know if she's trying to, you know, grub on me now, but it's just not necessary, and that would cause awkwardness, and I wanted my buddy to have a good time. I wanted to have a good time, and the last place I want to have drama is my own house, because now there's no cameras watching me, and all I have to do is yell, lock the doors and get the bleach, and I'm a Dexter the fuck out of that place. Alright, we are back in cruising. So, had a good conversation down memory lane at the comic shop. You know, we're always old guys talking about how things just aren't the same anymore, and I had mentioned something about how they used to be able to get me with the covers in the late 90s and the 2000s, because you'd buy Witchblade, Lady Death, Purgatory, Red Sonja, all the Vampirella, all those things just for the Cheesecake Factor. And then now you realize they're all the same. Dynamite Entertainment, Xenoscope, it might as well be the exact same comic every single month with a different cover. And then they've got like up to Q variant, you know, each variant cover gets a different letter. They've got up to the letter Q, he said, sometimes for these Dynamite covers. It's too much. It's not that I don't appreciate Cheesecake and Half-Naked Women in Spandex anymore, but at least back then there was a story, and Witchblade was awesome, and there was a collectability to it. Now it's just the same thing. They're not even dynamic covers or, you know, stories or anything like that. And then we start talking about how things used to be so much different as far as video games went. I told him there's no reason for me to get a PS5 or whatnot, because we tapped out. You can only get so much better so many times before you get tired of it. How many new TVs have you bought? You know, I've gone through these talks before. He said he got a PS5 and it's already sort of obsolete because of the graphics cards they have on PC now, and everyone's going back to a retro format, and even up to doing an Oculus now and the Metaverse, which will take over everything. So video games just aren't the same. And then of course we start talking about how Toys R Us and KB's, it used to be so exciting to go in there. Another thing that I've talked about before, where the Toys R Us we remember isn't the one that we saw as it closed down, and will never be the same if it ever reopened. You know, the long wall of little plastic flips that you could see what the games were and take your token up and buy your game. And buying a video game used to be exciting. Oddly enough, the same price. They were $60 back then, and they're still $60. For 40 years, video game prices have never changed. Consoles sure have. But it was just a different animal back then. The like KB's, though, ended up better. So Toys R Us reigned supreme until about, I would say, 90, 94, 95. And then when all the McFarlane came out and Nerf guns started being popular and then Pokemon and everything, and they moved the video games from the plastic slats to the R zone where they put it behind glass case and you couldn't see the box art anymore and it was a hassle to buy a video game, Toys R Us started sucking. But KB's picked up where Toys R Us left off, and they were getting all the what would become Marvel Legends with that 30 points of articulation Spider-Man 2099 and the black symbiote version. And then they also were the birthplace of Titantron Live. I never remember seeing those at Toys R Us until they went well at KB's, and then I spent probably most of my money at KB's buying all those. And KB's actually was also the last place to carry Hasbro's. I remember right about after the whole SummerSlam sweepstakes giveaway extravaganza thing happened, I kind of stopped seeing Hasbro's at Toys R Us. And then it went straight to KB's, and I would see maybe a smattering of Red Card and Yellow Card. I picked up, I remember one time, Bam Bam and Razor. And then none of us in America ever saw the Green Card. I mean, it was like super rare to see any of the Green Card in, I guess. I don't know, was that the one that was mostly in the UK? Or it seemed like the last wave of anything always ends up in the UK, like Titus and Megator from Masters of the Universe, or the last few series of Galoobs with Dustin and Big Josh and El Gigante and stuff like that. So, but then, of course, speaking of video games, and we had to talk about the greatest video game of all time, No Mercy, and the WCW wrestling games, and just how different it was buying a video game, taking it home, and playing it day one. To me, that's just, that's something that'll never happen again. You buy something from PlayStation, or you most likely download it, and then it's no good. You gotta wait a week and a half for the patch to come out so it fixes everything. You got microtransactions to get the shit that you really want. It's just not fun buying video games anymore. And then you gotta wait 4 hours for everything to download and update, and it's just a pain. So, good news is, though, I did go randomly into GameStop, and I found Sabretooth from Age of Apocalypse and Shadowcat. So I guess now somehow I got to get the Build-A-Figure parts. If you're out there and feeling generous, I want to finish off that Age of Apocalypse Colossus, and I'm probably not going to buy Cyclops or any of that stuff, but at least I got the two I wanted. Eh, Goodwill doesn't have shit. I just must have been lucky there for a while. I don't know if it was just I was collecting something that I didn't have, or shut the fuck up, seatbelt. That's going to be my new tagline. That's the catchphrase for this podcast. Shut the fuck up, seatbelt. I was on a good run there with Goodwill. And today is 50% off Thursdays at Savers. So I'm going to hit up a few of those on my way to dropping off rent. But, yeah, I had a really good run. And for whatever reason, can't find shit now. Nobody's either donating or what? I don't know. I can't figure it out. But oh well. So back to the party. I invited an eclectic mix of people, mostly band members, but then a few other people that I had wanted to see the house or that had made mention they wanted to come see it. So it was kind of funny because I'd be mingling out back or somewhere in one of the rooms showing people the collections, and then my mom or one of the band guys would come in and we're like, hey, here's somebody. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is, you know, my buddy. So I've got biker friends, I got bartender friends, I got a couple of creepy friends, and I decided to invite the neighbors too. So it's real weird when you get band guys all together and we're all wearing, like, you know, jeans and chucks and t-shirts and talking about music, and then some guy comes in wearing a polo shirt and like a neck sweater and like slides. I guess, isn't that what the cool people call them? They're like, that you wear socks with these real expensive Adidas or Nikes slide slippers. It was my neighbor. And I invited him just so he wouldn't complain about the noise, but he had made mention he was sort of a media collector. So I was like, yeah, come on over and check it out. I got DVDs, VHS, and all sorts of things. But it's funny when he walks in and he sees all these tattooed, weird, crazy-looking people, and they weren't even the worst of what was to come. He's just so out of place. Looks like he walked out of a frat party in the 80s, but was still trying to be an office party in the 2000 stock market or something like that. Totally out of place. But he was cool, got to see the place, and loved all the collections. Shared some stories about how he used to swap VHS when they would stop turning. You could just take the film and transfer it to a blank VHS casing and make it work, how to Frankenstein it. So that was interesting. And at one point, I'm outside, and my mom comes out. She looks scared to death, and everyone else, there's like a hush. I'm like, what's going on? And the next thing you know, this 7-foot-tall goth chick ducks to get out of the house to come into the backyard. And I was like, oh, Link. And my biker buddy next to me is like, you mean like as in missing? I was like, no, it's not the missing Link. That's her name, Link. Her friend or her boyfriend, Billy, is actually the one I invited, but I knew she was going to be there. So she shows up all mansoned out. She's got zero pupils. She's wearing those contacts that white your eyes out completely. And, you know, the goth makeup and the Hail Satan tattoos and the chains. And she's wearing, like, 10-inch platforms. So she's really, like, 6'2". But with the giant platform, she ended up being exactly 7 feet tall. Just hysterical to see the looks on their faces. And that's exactly why I invited them. But Billy's a cool guy. Runs limos and party buses around town. And anytime somebody dies, a celebrity, he has a picture with them because his dad was a name around Vegas while he was growing up. So he's run light shows for famous bands, runs limos now. His dad did some stuff, and just, yeah, it was fairly entertaining to see that mix. And then she just goes outside, sits down, starts popping shrooms, speaking of, and trying to educate everyone, but being so tall, she thought she had to speak louder, and she's yelling at everyone. So it just made it even more hilarious. I'm looking at my mom, and I'm like, it's okay. They were invited. It's fine. And everyone else is just kind of minor panic. But yeah, good times on that one. And then my biker buddy, who's affiliated, I won't say with who, but he shows up, and I let my other neighbors know, and they're not one percenters. That's in America, and if you don't know around here, one percenters are like the outlaw motorcycle club. And there's military riding clubs that are one percenters. They're in a military riding club and aren't one percenters, if that makes sense. So they're more like, not even the weekend warriors, but they're usually active people, and it's just a riding support group. Well, I let them know they could come over and that they'll probably see a lot of bikes. And I said, don't worry, you're not going to have beef with anyone, but I might have some affiliated people show up because I'm friends with everyone. And, like, this is the skinny, you know, quote-unquote Kyle type, the Chris Kyle type, where he wears his gun on his hip constantly. And he's like a Texas guy that, I mean, he's just a kid, but he acts like every day is Chris Kyle and he's going to snipe someone for America. You know, so I'd invite him, you know, and I guess he passively plays drums and guitar just for fun. And I thought, you know, he could come over and check the place out. He didn't answer the door because I don't know if he's just intimidated or whatever, but he's another paranoid type that's got like 20 cameras on the outside of his house. So when he first moved in and I saw the bikes and his cut that he was wearing, which is the three-piece patches for his motorcycle club, I thought he was affiliated until I met him and I confronted him and he's like, no, we're fine. We don't have beef with anyone. I'm like, cool, you know, I got friends that do, but if they come over, they'll be fine. They'll be peaceful. So he texted me. I rang his Ring doorbell. I was on video. He didn't answer and he waited for me to leave. Then he texted me later. He's like, oh, sorry, I missed you. Did you need help with anything? I'm like, no, I just wanted to invite you to the party. Didn't hear back from him. Well, I saw his roommate or butt buddy or whoever it is later on, and I said, oh, did so-and-so mention that I was having a barbecue? Oh, no. And I said, yeah, you'll probably see some people in and out, but, you know, I'll leave the garage door open. Just come on in, grab yourself a barbecue and a beer, and introduce yourself. And the guy looked like scared to death. Well, so when my affiliated friends started showing up, I thought for sure they would come over and maybe try and stand their ground, because, you know, they always got their fucking guns on them and their club patches. Fuckers disappeared and didn't even show up. Like, that would have been a good time. And they're probably, my friends are probably the nicest people, nicest killers you would ever meet in your entire life. Like, there's nights where, I won't say we, because I may or may not have partaken in some of these wild nights, but there's nights where we just get dressed up, go out, get hammered on a certain particular area of Vegas, and we just go into bars looking for fights. And I won't admit whether they happen or not, but yeah, it's just kind of funny. Anyway, he was cool. Got to hang out with him and joke, and he laughed his ass off every time that 7 foot tall chick would walk by. I mean, he called her every name. He's like, there is no Link, there is only Zool. You know, so, where's she squatch? And she probably gets it all the time, but, you know, whatever. But their early 20s, and you can see the difference between people in their 40s versus people in their 20s, where they have to do shrooms to bring down the anxiety. They don't know what to do in a public setting other than to just drink heavily and pass out. The rest of us, we didn't even have to play games. They just didn't know what to do. We were having fun going back and forth and just chatting with each other, with everyone else. And they're kind of like sticking to themselves. Nobody would talk to them. And so I tried talking to them. You know, we started talking shit about Zach Bagans, which is usually what you do with gothy people. And, that was it. They stayed for a little bit, and then they took off. They went into the bathroom together, and I thought, all right, now they're going to do more drugs in the house? But come on, you know. So I watched them. They knew I was watching, and they weren't. I think she was taking her contacts out and lightening up a little bit, which still didn't help. Because she still had to duck to get out the door. But, yeah, good times. I invited my buddy Big Al out. That is basically, if you mixed the Big Show from WCW early days when he debuted as the Giant and actual Andre the Giant, that's what this guy looks like. I think he's like 6'9", 6'10", and 450 pounds. Rides a bike, and he has to have the oversized ape hangers on his bike. But that's just normal for him. Anyone else sits on it, their arms would be above their head. I think legally you're only allowed to have ape hangers on your bike at shoulder level. So they usually just like loosen the nut so they can put it down if the cops go by and then raise them up when they leave. But he has legit ape hangers because if this dude wore boots with an inch heel on there, he would be like 7 feet tall as well. So I kind of wanted to invite him, not only because he's a good friend, but just because also, it would be hilarious to see what other people do when he tries to fit in the room, you know. But all in all, it was good. Had some people I'd never met before show up, and I really, you know, commend them, and I was happy they got to show up. We never met in person, but we were mutual friends on Facebook. Invited her and her son out, and, you know, she was really cool. And the dad, I had played in a jam session with one of my buddy's dads, or for my buddy's dad, and he showed up, and he kind of likes to, you know, take over and talk shit about new music, and since it was my house, I wanted metal and hard rock and covers of covers, and, you know, you see some of the band members are like, oh, this is crap, you gotta listen to the original, I hate covers. Like, you're in a cover band, and they hate listening to covers. I think I would rather listen to Godsmack do Rocky Mountain Way than I would ever want to listen to the original. And I fucking hate the Beatles, and now I don't have to be shy about it. I can finally be myself and tell people what I like and what I don't like. And then they just have to deal with it. So I'm realizing more and more I should have and will probably just try and keep them as friends. They won't make good bandmates just because we don't listen to the same kind of music. And we disagree on a lot of stuff. So I'm going to dime bag it out if I'm bored with a solo. So, yeah, if we play Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And it comes to the solo. I'll hit the part where it goes. But then the rest of the solo is going to be, you know, fun shit that the crowd's going to be like, oh my God, this is way better than the regular Journey. I want to come see these guys because they put something original on this and make a twist out of it. You know, that's my philosophy. If you want to go see a tribute band where these skinny fuckers that baby oil up and baby powder their leathers to put on for a show so they can play everything note for note, that's not the band for me. I want to be a personality. I want to put on a show. And I want people to come back. And I want them to remember my name. I had such a following up in Reno at this Brew Brothers that we used to play at. It was just a legendary place that no longer has bands. And I would go in. Didn't matter what band was playing. They would start chanting and asking the band if Wolf can sit in. And whenever I did, I mean, it could be a Gwen Stefani tribute band or a cover band on stage, and I would jump up and jam with them, and it'd be fucking White Zombie and Pantera. And I realized that's where I met these guys, and that was the club to do that in. I didn't realize when we weren't playing at that club that they just didn't really like that kind of music. So that was disheartening because I never changed, and they showed who they really were, so... I'm at Savers. Let's see what we got. Well, at least I found something at Savers. I was wrong. Monday is 50% off day. Thursday is 25% off. So, you know, it's not too bad. It is what it is. I found a Tailspin VHS from Disney Afternoon, which was pretty cool. I have all of them on DVD. Because I refuse to do Disney Plus and pay for all their modern bullshit. But the box art is cool on these things. And it's hard to pass up whenever you find, you know, the Ninja Turtles or any of the cartoons, any of that on VHS. Because it's fun. It's nostalgic. And it was 99 cents, so I got it for 75 today. But also found something interesting. And it was one of these things that occasionally will pop up. So I'm walking along and you just feel like it's there calling you and that it's supposed to be there for a reason. I had the same similar instance with my amp I'll talk about in a minute. But there was a book in the section where it's usually all the crap, like the Photoshop 4 for dummies or Linux for dummies. Shit that no one's ever going to buy again, and it's completely outdated. There was a book front-facing that said, Music Industry, How to Understand the Business of the Music Industry with Career Edition Business Handbook. And it's a doctorate, it's a professor writing about all aspects of professional music, from having an agent to lawyering up to writing original music, how to do it. It just, I don't know. I felt like I needed to buy it. I also got a very peculiar message from somebody this morning that I don't usually interact with, but he is sort of a radio podcast personality around town. And he asked if I played bass or guitar. And that was it. And I'm like, yeah, I play bass, anything from country to Primus. I play guitar, which is pretty much like a Zakk Wylde clone. And then on drums, I'm somewhere below Portnoy and above Vinnie Paul and can play standard drums as well. So it was weird because this guy, he knows everyone. I mean, Gene Simmons was here with the art gallery and he was hanging out with him and posted pictures. He's always hanging out with Five Finger Death Punch and a few, I don't know, honestly, I haven't really been paying attention, so I guess I should. But if he knows someone that's looking for a band, maybe I won't need the house. Maybe I'll just end up going on tour again. I mean, again, I'm not trying to jinx it like I did with the cute gothy chick, not the 7 foot tall one, but like, you know, a few podcasts ago where I was talking about that dating app. But anywho, yeah, we'll see where that one goes. Now, about the amp. I'm reluctant to spend a lot of money on something because I've bought guitar amps before because I was told to. And I was being groomed to either start my own band or play in bands that needed to have a 100-watt tube power amp on stage. And then I got it and it sat there. I never got the gig. And 10 years later, I'd sell it because I needed the money. And it was also too loud to play in the house. So there was just absolutely no point to it. Well, nobody told me, and maybe this is a newer thing, or it's at least easier or more adaptable now. There's something called an attenuator that you could crank your amp up to full power to get that sound that you need. Because most of tube amps, you need to crank it up to 4 or 5, sometimes even 6 before it starts to break apart and really get that sound that you're looking for. And by that point, you better be playing an amphitheater because the thing's just ear-bleedingly loud. Well, now, with an attenuator, you can plug it through that and choke the output so that it's only room level. It's almost like a master volume switch. And I didn't know that. Well, this amp that I bought, that I'd done research on, has that attenuator in its standard on this amp now. So I can crank it up to get the tubes hot enough and the power levels, but I can also play it at a decent volume as well, which is something a lot of guitar players won't do. They just get up there with their, you know, 4-speaker half stack and their 100-watt power amp, and they just blast the fuck out of a, you know, a 100-person room, and people have to leave because it's so damn loud. But I had done research on it, kind of like I did with 3D printing, where I spent almost, you know, a couple of months reading and researching and doing everything I could before I actually committed to buying something. And now I'm a smarter shopper than I used to be. I used to just buy things and realize it didn't work and I'm stuck with it. Now I want to see, well, what else do you need with these things? It's not just buying a piece of equipment anymore. I didn't know what a 3D printer, that you would need all the cleanup and chemicals and how to wash and cure things. Well, so with the amp, I'm doing a lot of research. Anyway, I put in my max bid. Like I said, I got it for less than half of the retail price. I put in my max bid, and I'm just like, you know, if I get it, I get it. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If not, I will just crumble in a ball and cry. No, I wouldn't. If it's meant to be, then, you know, not like a prayer or nothing, but like, let me have this amp if it's going to happen. And it did, like I say. So I got it for a really, 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 really good price. I'll just say, I got it for $1,000 off. I got it for $700. Can you imagine that? $700 for a $1,700 amp, it's just unheard of. And it was brand new. Came with the foot switch, the amp cover, even the instruction booklet. The guy got it, and it's just too professional to sit in his garage, and I'm going to be playing a lot of professional gigs with it, so he was happy to let it go, and I'm getting it crated through UPS, so this should be really interesting. But should be arriving tomorrow. I'm going to be a mess waiting on it. I always get nervous with these things. I hate having stuff shipped, but it's going to be awesome. I'm going to crank it up a little bit just so I can see what the fuck this thing's doing. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it'll be great. And it'll boost my career. Whether or not I play with these guys again or fill in with them again is a whole other subject. I actually, at this point, might even refuse. Not to be a dick or not to be mean about it, but realizing that I'm just not a good fit for that. Because like I say, when we would play up in Reno, I'd get up and we'd do Dropkick Murphys and Metallica and Crazy Train and heavier stuff. And then it would be Rammstein. And, you know, I realized it was my buddy, my ex-roommate, who was their first major guitar player that left. He was the one that, even though we don't get along anymore, at that time, he was the only reason I was doing that stuff. And now that he's gone, they're almost like a mellow rock 70s. Like, their hard rock now is Jimi Hendrix. they'll pull out an occasional Rage Against the Machine, but man, fuck, every night at Brew Brothers was Rage Against the Machine, Metallica, well, they didn't do Pantera, the other band did that I was jamming with, and I guess it was just the venue. So now they're playing on Fremont, you know, they think they're just going to stick to that 70s groove, which is cool, but there's other bands now that I'm hanging out with around town. One of them, Spandex Nation, that they're phenomenal. You know, they put on the spandex and the wigs and the whole glitz and glam, which to me has always been a little outlandish, even though I like Steel Panther, at least it looks a little more realistic, other than people that just, you know, go to Halloween Town and pick out a wig and look ridiculous. But they're actually pretty good musicians. They're professional. They go all direct in. They don't even have a live sound on stage with amps. And they play good hair metal, like Lick It Up and Turn Up the Radio and Scorpions and stuff with harmonized dual lead guitars. And just, it's fun. And that's, I think, something that's lost on a lot of these bands. Once you start doing the songs that you like, it's different when you're performing for a group of people that don't like those songs. And I think my boys are going to learn that lesson real quick here. Whether or not I may have outshined or did more than what they wanted or made it a little too heavy for what they wanted, I think that's what the crowd wants. But you know what? It's not my band. It's not my place. And it is what it is. So, good for them. I hope they're happy. I hope things work out. I will future endeavor them and wish them all the best in their future endeavors. It'll be without the wolf, though. And even if they do call, like I say, it's hard to turn down the money. But when I did that one gig and it took an entire weekend out of my life, it put me in a 2-month-long depression, realizing how much I loved and missed music. And then it also threw me back into drinking and partying every night. Two things I don't want to have to deal with again. So when I do get back into music, even if it's with this country band or other bands I'm filling in with, it's going to be fun with my gear on my terms, enjoying music for what it is, and something I could talk about as I'm pulling into Guitar Center when I get back. Why you never mix friends with business. And I think I'm also on the verge of getting in trouble with that in the Wolf Club, so stay tuned. And we're back. So it's that was an hour long since I last recorded, because I've been in Guitar Center just shooting the shit and chopping shop with those guys. I had to go back and listen to what I had said was coming up next about never mixing friends and business before I realized that's what I was talking about. So I'm on the way to drop off the rent check begrudgingly. I have a good feeling, and I'm hoping things won't happen. I'm just sort of preparing for the worst as far as the next lease goes and whether or not I get to keep the house, but we will see. So, mixing friends and business, it's kind of like don't shit where you eat, why they always try and discourage dating in the workplace, because whenever you do date someone that you have to work with, when it goes south, odds are there are times when things have to be chosen between the two employees, and one of them gets let go. But it doesn't make sense to me, because in the band aspect, you want to be in a band with three of your best friends, because you people have to live, eat, shit, breathe, and stink together when you're on the road. Even in cover bands, you know, your green room, if you even get one, might be tight quarters, and when you just want to chill or call home or talk to somebody or take care of business on your days off, you want to do that instead of being bothered by the guys who are sitting 2 inches next to you. So I can kind of understand that. With the band, I'm wondering if maybe I thought of myself more than they thought of me, because maybe they were just building me up as, the hang around. I've talked about that in the past. But as far as things before, you know, with dating, I had my absolute best friend in the world that we would flirt and we were on the verge of fucking all the time. And we just never did it. There was always something that kept us apart, generally her sister. I was actually trying to date her sister and then found out that the younger sister was interested in me. So I waited till she was 18. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, she was, I think I was like 25, 26 or something at the time. And her little sister was 17. I didn't realize it. And then when she turned 18, it was like, oh shit, you know. And then we were best friends. Didn't do anything until she turned about 20. And then we had one of those uh-oh nights where we almost dared each other that we wouldn't do it. And we did. I mean, this is how bad it was. We were both into vampires and werewolves and, you know, rockabilly and goth and all that kind of stuff. And just jokingly one night, we're like, fuck, let's go rent a porno. What do these things actually look like? These have got to be hilarious. We rented some vampire porno and literally just watching it, having fun, not even, you know, getting horny or nothing. And I'm like, that's not how that goes. She's like, yeah, it'd be terrible. She's fucking it up. And I'm looking at her, and I was like, wait, what do you mean? She's like, no, this is how you do it. And like, she just starts going for it. And I was like, oh shit, all right. And then we went and we fanged and banged. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And then we just assumed because of that we were automatically in a relationship. And it just went way too fast, way too quick. I think within a few months we had moved in together, or she moved in with me, and then it caused problems with her sister, and then everyone else started causing problems. I mean, we dated for 2.5 years, but it was all because of that one moment that we never crossed that line. I mean, I'd like smacked her ass or like gave her the purple nurple here and there kind of thing. But it was never like, all right, this is how you really deep throat somebody. And then when you finish, she pats you on the belly and goes, good job, and walks away like nothing happens. I'm like, whoa, hang on, I'm sorry, I love you. You know, so, yeah, that was just one of those very odd, very weird things. And I kind of miss my friend, because when it ended, she's the bitch that when I was on tour, I found out that she had been taking my rent money when I was on the road, and I got the call when I was in Mississippi that she was moving out and all my shit was being evicted and being thrown on the front yard. I was even a collector at that point, but I had more guitars and equipment, and it was just a mess. I basically had to move out of this new house that we had just got within 24 hours, and I couldn't even fly home to take care of it. My whole family and all my other friends had to go do it. So, ended very bitterly. And even, gosh, that was like 2008, even all these years later, I still hate her guts, but I miss my friend. So was it worth the relationship? I think I could have found someone else and settled for something maybe a little less. She wasn't like, you know, a model or nothing. I'm not saying nothing like that, but like I could have just gone for the regular girl. Not the professional groupie, but just the normal girl with a normal job instead of doing the whole rock star relationship thing. I mean, we were like Pam and Tommy. Her last name was Wolf, and my given name is Wolf. That's not my legal last name. For anyone that's done business with me, they know. And so it's kind of funny how that all worked out. Different world, and I wonder if I wouldn't have mixed that with pleasure had things gone differently. But honestly, I don't regret it. It was a live and learn sort of thing. So now, and I said I might be getting in trouble with this Wolf Club. I didn't actually mean with people in the Wolf Club, but it's one of those things where, and nobody that's listening take this the wrong way, because I appreciate all of you and I love what you do. But when people start doing similar sort of ventures with the same thing that I'm doing, it's almost like it takes business away from what I'm doing, because now my supporters are going to want to support other people. So if you've got a podcast with a t-shirt and I'm making t-shirts for another guy, now all of a sudden there's two podcasts you got to make shirts for. Or if I make figures and someone else makes figures, now these people have to decide, well, do I feel bad? Should I support both or do I get both? I can't afford both. Now do I get one or the other? How does this work? So I can understand how it's a conundrum. And I don't, I don't blame people. You know, I'm happy they support. But another thing when it comes into friend-wise is this is something that I'm dropping off figures for a local guy. He thinks we're on that level, and now he bugs me. He's like, dude, when do I get him? Hey, can you drop him off tomorrow? I'm like, no, dude, you're number 50 in a line of long-ass people waiting for this shit. So calm down, and I'll get it to you when I'm done. And other times, people think I could squeeze them in first, or my list gets bigger because we do something that, you know, like I'm going to hook you up, or I feel because we're friends, I'm going to hook you up. And then all of a sudden, I'm giving myself too much work to where I've got more work than money to pay bills, and I have to have time to be able to make new work and do other things. So you see how it gets kind of sketchy? Like, you almost have to keep it on a business level when you're dealing with money and with people with money. So then again, to play devil's advocate, you never know, because you could have the absolute best relationship, business-wise or otherwise, with someone that's a friend. So it's a total gamble. It really is. And like I say, I appreciate everyone, and I don't regret anything. A lot of times, some of the worst hurt that you've gone through has come from people that knew you personally. And everyone seemed to like my quote from last time when I said the scars on your heart will never come from someone you don't know. And it's very true. So, yeah, it is what it is. I am here at Rent. I'm going to drop this bitch off, and then we're probably going to cut this. And I'll start another one so we can talk about the slap heard around the world. All right, y'all. Yeah, I am going to wrap this one up. And this will be the live one. And then we can talk about the slap heard around the world next time, because I have a little bit of a different take on that. And I still have some more errands to run, but we're encroaching that hour mark. And I want to make sure that y'all ain't falling asleep on me. All right, be safe and sane, and I will chat at you later.